Thank you, Dr. Keith. Happy Sabbath, everyone. It is good to be here and to see all of you. It's a wonderful Sabbath day, amen? It's a beautiful fall day. The temperature is really nice out there, and we're very glad that you've come today into God's house. We welcome you into His house. I join with Dr. Keith in just thanking God for His blessings and for allowing us all to come into His house. I'm seeing visitors. I know you all were welcome before. I'm seeing those perhaps are here for the first time, are visiting continuously. We're happy that you're here. And our guests, our patients that are here for 1 week so far, we are glad that the Lord brought you here and that you will continue to enjoy your program. Well, I'll be speaking today on the topic, the power of prayer and praise. That's our message for today. Just before we get into our message, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we need you. I need you. Especially as I seek to open your word, I just pray, dear Lord, that you will please inspire my heart, that you will forgive my sins, and help that nothing will hinder your word from going forward today. I pray for each one. We've all come today because we believe that you have power to save, to change, to transform, and to do something special for each of us. We pray now that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Beautiful. As I said, it's really good to see all of you. I met some friends that are visiting for the first time at Eden Valley. Sylvie and David friends met James and his wife yesterday. And I'm sure there are other visitors that are here. My friend, remind me of your name. Yes, both of you. Yes. Todd, right? And? Nicole, right, Todd and Nicole. We've have Todd and Nicole for several Sabbaths here, and they really like Eden Valley. We spoke many times at lunch, and so that we are glad that you're here and that you continue to enjoy services here at Eden Valley. And, of course, we don't get to see Phyllis and her family a lot, and so we're glad you're here as well. Right, Ron? Yeah, good to see you, man. And, of course, Anthony. Oh, great man. So we're very excited for all our other visitors. I know Jamie and her aunt is here. Jamie, we're glad you're here. You're here with your aunt for these past few days. And just all that are here today, God bless you all. We're very happy that you have made Eden Valley your choice for today. The power of prayer and praise. By the way, I'll be preaching next week as well. Next week's sermon is the preparation for our communion service, which is on the 5th of November. Communion service is on the 5th of November, and so we will be preparing for that. We normally preach the message the Sabbath before in preparation for that communion service. Our message will be entitled next week, "There's a Judas in the House." So we want you to prepare for that. There's a Judas in the house. That is next week. And for today, we're going to look at the power of prayer and praise. There was this woman that really enjoyed praying because she was so poor. There were days she didn't know where her meal would come from. She didn't know if she had something for breakfast. She's not sure where lunch would come from. So she would gather her children and would pray together. Now, this is in a ghetto setting or a setting where a lot of homes are jumbled together. And sometimes folks can easily hear what you're saying, right? And I don't know, Clayton or Juliana, I have been to Brazil, and also I've been to several countries. There's some of this in Jamaica. I've been in the Dominican Republic. I see this. They're called the favelas in Brazil as well, right? Yeah, okay. So these homes where sometimes they're just on top of each other and very close to each other. So this lady was in a place like this. So anyway, she was on one of the upper little homes. So she would always be praying, and she's not a quiet prayer warrior at all. She prays out loud, she prays and asking God for His blessing, and Lord, you know the need we have no food, and you know, really just pouring out her heart to God, and the children are there with her as she's praying to God. So somehow, some guys heard her praying, and she said, this lady, I think she's in need of something, but we're going to play a little trick on her. We're going to buy some food and we're going to place it at her door. And she's going to think that God provided for her. Watch this. And so they would do that. She prayed. They bought a big box of food and they put it at the door. And so the lady, of course, she followed through with her prayer. She normally gives thanks, right? That's what you do. You follow through. So she got the box and her sons, come and see this. And she praised God. Lord, we were praying for bread. We were praying for food. And you brought us food. And the guys down the bottom laughed at her. They laughed, oh foolish lady, she didn't know that we were the ones that took the food there. So anyway, that food lasted for a while, and then it was time again when she has run out, and she gathered her children and she started praying again. She prayed, and this continued for a period of time. She prayed, and these boys would take some food to her door. So all this time she doesn't know who's taking this, but she's praising God that God provided. Now, one day, another time food ran out, and so she prayed again. And the boys did the same thing. The young men did the same thing. But this time the young men said, now we are gonna catch her. And because they knew she normally praised God and thanked God for sending food. And so they were waiting. They were right down behind at her window waiting for her to receive whatever they had left there. And she started praising God again for the food. And so the young man said, foolish lady, looking at her up there, foolish lady. And they got her attention. She was looking down and she said, all this time you're thinking that God is providing food for you. We've been sending and taking food for you. Each time you prayed, we put food there and the food has been there. And this last time we said, we're going to catch you because we left the food and you think it's God. We've the one that been providing and taking the food to your door. And the lady said, oh, young man, you may have brought it, but God provided it. Praise the Lord. And she continued praying and praising God. Friends, there's power in prayer. And sometimes people try to even think that they are trying to trick us. But what we see here in this story is that it does sometimes God allow things to happen when we pray. Many times we're not the one that helps to provide the answer to the prayers. Many times God uses others to answer these prayers that we're praying. For the past, since I arrived here some time back, I've been focusing on prayer as one of the main theme during my sermons. Today is the last of that. We've gone through several aspects of it. And today I thought I wanted to finish off on this. By the way, I'll have Teresa come up sometime later, but I want you to know as a church that our church board, we've been praying every day for this church. Some months ago, we met at our church board and we've been thinking and praying about our church, about the power of the Holy Spirit in our church. We've been praying about our community. We've been praying for evangelism, for how we can really impact our community the way God would have us to. So as a church board, we've been praying every day. We have a special time that each one remembers about that moment of prayer, and we've been pouring our hearts out to God. I believe God wants to do something special for this church. And so today I'd like to finish off that what I started on with this aspects of prayer in the Church of God. And I'd like to, Dr. Keith, actually, my main theme won't be there in the book of Luke chapter 18, but yeah, you did well. But we are actually going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 24 today. We're going to stay there for a while, but as you notice in the book of Luke 18 verse 1, it says, men are all to pray and what? Not faint. Or not to neglect prayer, not to put other things above prayer, but prayer should be our first and foremost priority. And so I'd like you to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're looking at verse 1 on down. We're going to be here, in fact, for some time. So stay with me today. We're going to be there for some time. So 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1, the Bible states, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Verse 2, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Azazon Tamar, which is Engedi or Engedi. Jehoshaphat in verse 3, and Jehoshaphat fared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. The power of prayer and praise. This morning we're going to look at 10 very important factors in this story. Now, you go home, you can read this, and maybe you'll find 20 or 50. I found 10, and I'd like to just mention them very clearly this morning and quickly as we look at the story. 10 factors as it relates to the prayer of, or the story here of Jehoshaphat, and the 10 important steps that he took. 10 steps in the story of Jehoshaphat. Here we have it. So here we go. As we look through this story, the first couple of verses, we see something. It came to pass that the children of Moab, Ammon, and all these other people, the Ammonites, they came up against Jehoshaphat. There came some that told him and saying, hey, there come a great multitude against you. My friends, there are times when we don't understand what's going on in our lives, and it seems as if everything is against us. It seems as if that we are not able to handle the situations that are coming up on us. And in this case, we see Jehoshaphat, the folks came by and told him, hey, all these people are coming up against you. There's a verse that I like in 2 Corinthians 4 that says, we are troubled on every side. And I don't know about you today, but I've had situations in my life when it seemed, mark my words, that I'm troubled on every side. But the good thing about this is when we're troubled on every side, that's when God is able. Once we cry out to God, we know that He's able. And it doesn't matter how much we're troubled, how much people or circumstances are coming up against us, we have a God who is there to surround us in these difficult times. And so verse 3. And this is going to bring us to our first point this morning, verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared this great army that was coming up against him. Was he fearing the army? The context, of course he was troubled. It was a great army. It was bigger than him. When you do the research and the study, they were all great armies, and he wasn't able to deal with this. But the Greek, when you see this word fear in here, it's actually referring to the fear that he had for God. It's actually referring to Jehoshaphat seeing this, and right away, you know, the Bible talks about the fear of God? Yeah? And so right away, he put his attention to God. And so watch this. He feared and set himself, notice, to do what? To seek the Lord. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Point number one. Verse 3. first step, whenever we are surrounded, we are in trouble, we have a situation, we should seek the Lord and hear Jehoshaphat, especially in fasting and prayer. Friends, there are so many other things that we like to do when we're surrounded. There are many things that sometimes we think that is important for us to do when we're in trouble. We have an emergency. We have a situation. Here, normally, we try to look to other things. We try to look to other people. We try to look at how we can get out of this. And many times, we forget to seek the Lord as our first priority. So first thing this morning, you will see in the story, Jehoshaphat sought the Lord, and he also proclaimed a fast and prayer. Fasting and prayer. Moving on, verse 4, watch this. Second point this morning, the points sometimes are very close together, don't miss them. I've been teaching Daniel with the students, and for me it has been such a great blessing because we've been just walking through the book of Daniel verse by verse and looking at many lessons that sometimes we often miss. And so verse 4 puts it this way, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. So verse 3 says they sought the Lord and also with prayer and fasting. I like this quote from Mother Teresa. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us and we change things. Interesting. Interesting. So one of the big and most important things in praying or in prayer is that God is able to change us in prayer. You see, sometimes we go to God in prayer and we have a wrong motive. Sometimes we're not clear. And so we have our motives and we're thinking this is the way. But you see, when we go to God in prayer, it should be a way that we're surrendering our wills to Him. We're surrendering everything. We're handing over to Him. God, please attend according to your will. And so it should be where God is able to change our mentality, change the way we're seeing things, and then through that He helps us to change the things around us. And sometimes, my friends, we are in need of a change of mind more than a change of anything else that's around us. And when the mind is changed, I promise you, this is the word of God. When God is able to work and change and get our attention through the mind, many times have you been in a situation where you're so troubled, you're so worried, you're wondering what's going on and how God is going to help. And, you know, you are getting so stressed out, and after prayer, things are so calm. You see, prayer helps to change us. Changes our perspective. That we kind of stop, hey, settle down, don't be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, make your requests be known unto God. And so, we see here, secondly, point number 2, verse 4, the people ask help of the Lord. Number 1, they sought the Lord with fasting and prayer, and then they asked help of the Lord. My friends, the problems that we normally face, the issues that we have in life, many times, there no one else can solve them but the Lord Jesus Christ. So they sought His help. I remember years ago, I was working in a foreign field, in a missionary, mission institute. And so we only had well for our water. Well or the rain. So we had a couple of wells, and somehow in the dry season, both wells dried up. Literally dried up. We were getting the drops from day to day. We realized it was coming slower and slower until it started to drip, and both wells were dried up. It wasn't raining. It's a dry season. The earth was parched. And we are wondering, Lord, what are we to do here? And actually, water lines were not close by us. So it's way out in the boonies, as they say. No water lines were dependent on the well or the rain from God. It was the dry season. It had not rained for weeks, and no rain is coming. The weather forecast not showing rain. And we were really troubled, I have to say. It's like Jehoshaphat here, seeing the danger, the enemy, they're coming up against him. He knew not what to do. He's wondering, but he started off right, I have to say. First, he sought the Lord, and he called for prayer and fasting. And secondly, he asked God for help. Friends, you can ask God for help today. Do you have things that you're wondering what's going to happen? How is this going to be solved? God is ready for you to ask him for help. Jehoshaphat asked. So that day, I remember this story. When our wells were dry, no rain, it's the dry season, and I remember this story right away, and I called the entire institute. It was Friday when we got the last drop of water, and it wouldn't go pretty far. And so I called the campus together, and I said, friends, you know, I was reflecting on the story as Jehoshaphat, and right now we are in trouble. We are in a great need, and I believe tomorrow, Sabbath, it was a Sabbath that's coming on. I believe tomorrow we should just fast and pray and ask God for help, because this is bigger than us. We're way out there. We have no water. There's no sign of rain, and everything is dried up. So we had a fasting and prayer all day that Sabbath. Oh, man, that was a beautiful day, by the way. It just felt like you put away everything out from yourself. You put away your fears, your doubt, and in faith and prayer, and you're just, you know, there's something that happens to the mind when we stay away from food for a little bit. You know that? The mind gets clearer. The mind gets, more alert. The mind is easier to connect with God. And no distraction. And so instead of the blood focusing on digestion, the blood up in the brain ready to focus on something else. And so here we have the organs. We're resting. The organs are fresh, not digesting food, not thinking about, how much food they have to digest. They don't think, by the way. I'm just saying that. I have to see if you're awake, you know. And so that day we prayed all day. We prayed, we had fasting and prayer in the morning, like a session like this in our church service. We were having sessions. A few verses went to prayer. Another few verses we went to prayer. And so we had a beautiful session. Then when it was lunchtime, we just left the church, but each person in their homes were just enjoying the moments in nature and reflecting upon God. All day we fasted in prayer. Friends, I tell you the truth this morning. No forecast for rain. No one, nothing was expected from the news that's going to rain soon. They're saying, well, this dry season may end in a month or so. But I tell you, about 4:30, almost 5 that afternoon, I remember very clearly that as I was walking around the campus, I was greeting some of the other staff members. We're just praising, Lord, we don't know what you're going to do, but our eyes are up on you. And we are praying, and we continued, and suddenly the sun was really nice and bright, and some clouds started coming over. I kid you not. And the clouds started coming over, surrounded the campus. And for about another hour, we started hearing the thundering. And eventually, we started seeing lightning flashing. And I said to the brethren, folks, prepare your barrels. Prepare your barrels, because I think God is about to do something special for us this day. And I'll tell you, we got the barrels, we got all our different homes taken care of, and the rain bursted out that night. And all night it rained, and the morning the campus was filled with water. Our gardens were watered, and we just praised God. And people who doubted if God is really able to do something, many came to me later and said, you know, I didn't believe that God is able to do things like this. But now I understand that God is indeed powerful. You see, it's about God trying to teach us. So that's why I really like that quote from Mother Teresa about prayer changing us. Prayer doing something for us. For the heart, for the mind. And it burst open that day. I never forget that. I will never forget how God really opened the windows of heaven and poured out his blessings. Friends, when we ask help of the Lord, he promised that he will attend unto us. Let's go to point number three. Point number three. remembering who God is. Watch this. In verse 6, we see this in verse 5. It says, "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court." Verse 6 now takes us to our point. "And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to stand before thee?" You see, he's asking these questions, but in a way what he's doing, he's remembering the power of God. You see, Jehoshaphat knows the stories where Moses was going through the Red Sea, and when they were right in front of the Red Sea, and the mountains on the left, mountains on the right, and Pharaoh's army behind, they remember that Moses called upon God. Jehoshaphat knows these stories. In fact, Jehoshaphat knows that few chapters back, by the way, about 13 chapters back in chapter 7, this was Solomon praying and asking the Lord for his blessing, and the fire of the Lord came down and the altar was aflame, and that was where God was showing Solomon that he accepted the sacrifice. You see, Jehoshaphat knew about the mighty works that God had did. And so while it looks in verse 6 as if he's asking, "Are you not God? Are you not the one? Are there's no power that is in you that no one is able to withstand?" He's remembering what God had done in the past. Friends, number 3, remember who God is. Has God done something for you in the past? So in the present situation, whatever situation that is, in the present that you're dealing with, just look back on what God has done in the past. Look back on what God has done for you. And that was one of the big point there, how Jehoshaphat remembering the power of God. And there's a quote that says, "We have nothing to fear for the future except that we forget how God has blessed and has helped us in the past." And you see, he remembered what God did. And therefore, that comforted him, because he knew the power of God. So moving on to the fourth point this morning. In our afflictions, God hears and helps us. Are you afflicted today? Maybe you don't answer because you think affliction means sickness. You think affliction means that I am dying. You think affliction means that I'm dealing with just a horrible situation. But friends, every day we are afflicted by the enemy. In some way or another, we are facing affliction. And in fact, in James chapter 5, the Bible says, "Any of you afflicted, let him pray." So what's that affliction? I don't know what it is. It may be just something that's bothering your mind. It may be the affliction of anxiety. It may be the affliction of not trusting in God as we should. And so verse 9 puts it this way: "If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou will hear and do what? And will help." So in our afflictions, God hears and he helps us. It doesn't matter what you are dealing with, we have a God that will hear and help. Now, friends, I have to say, that help may not be, or that the help that God gives you may not be the very thing that you are thinking about. Because you see, sometimes we have a planned prayer. We have a planned agenda. I would like God to do it this way, and therefore we go to God asking him to do it that way. But then we ought also, just like Jesus, while he was praying, Jesus says, "Not my will, but thy will be done." I encourage us today that in whatever affliction, whatever troubles our minds, whatever troubles the body, whatever troubles us, are those that we love, remember, God had promised, and therefore in affliction, he will hear and help. Verse 9. By the way, do you notice the language here in verse 9? It is a language that was used in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. So, let's go there. It's on the screen, by the way, for time's sake. You can just write it down, but it's on the screen. 2 Chronicles 7, verses 12 to 14. You see, Jehoshaphat knew about this prayer of Solomon, and therefore was literally quoting. It says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer." Praise God. Isn't that wonderful to hear from God? "I have heard thy prayer." Then it says, "And I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice." Verse 13, "If I shut up the heaven and there be no rain," I know what that is, "or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." Watch verse 14, "If my people which are called by my name shall," number one, "humble themselves," number two, "pray," number three, "seek my face," number four, "turn from their wicked ways," then look what God will do. "Then will I hear from heaven and will" what? "Forgive their sin and will heal their lands." What a blessing, beloved. This is a promise of God. But you notice what comes before? God says, "I will hear and I will forgive and I will heal." Four things for us to do. Number one, humble ourselves. Then we pray to him, we seek his face, or seek his will, not our will, and then turn from the wicked way. Do you understand? So do you see how powerful is it when we pray to God, when we seek God, when we humble ourselves, then we're going to ask, "Lord, are there any wicked ways in me?" Like David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me and know my thoughts. And if there be any wicked way in me," what? "Cleanse me from every sin and set me free." That is the power here. When we turn away from our sins or whatever it may be, then we have it. It says, "I will hear, I will forgive, and I will heal." That's the power of God. So, number four, what did we say? When we pray in our affliction, God will hear and he will help. Number five, quickly, let's do this. We are not able, but our eyes are on God. That's the next point here. In verse 12, Jehoshaphat, continuing down, we're here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you're joining. And here we are in verse 12. It says, "Our God, O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither we know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." Oh, friends, when the struggles come and when the difficulties come and we say, "You know, we are not able. We cannot do it. There's nothing that I can do. And we have no might. We have no power. But our eyes are up on you, dear God." This is the prayer of Jehoshaphat. Notice, friends, so far, Jehoshaphat saw that the enemy was coming. And he didn't go to prepare his strongest, you know, weapons and all of this. So far, we are seeing that Jehoshaphat called for prayer and fasting. And here he's pouring out before God. Isn't this a great example for us? That it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we're experiencing. Our first call should be that call to prayer. And gathering. Watch this. We're going to see some other things here. So in verse 12, we're seeing that we're not able. But if you just turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange, leading in the light of his glory and grace. You see that? Our eyes are upon you. Jehoshaphat decided, knowing that he's not able, knowing his nothingness, knowing his helplessness, knowing that he doesn't have what it takes, but he knew who his eyes were on. Continuing this morning, Dwight L. Moody puts it this way, "Every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure." In other words, Dwight is saying, any great movement, if the church is going to move, if the people of God is going to move, if the people of God are going to have victory, it starts on the knees. It starts on the knees. Start on the knees. You want God to do something special? Let's get on our knees. You want God to work out something that you've been wanting to happen in your life for the longest time? Let's get on our knees. That's the way God works. When you look through the Bible, it's no different. You can spend time, go through the Bible, and you see any great movement, anytime God is about to do something great for His people, He sent them to pray. He sent them to pray. Now, let's move on now, as time is not waiting on me this morning. So, in verse 13, point number 6, the importance of coming together. Point number 6, verse 13. Look at it. It says, "And all Judah stood before the Lord." Stood before who? The Lord. In other words, they came together, stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Wow. You see that, Hafa? Kaylee? Chloe? Even the little children got together with mommy and daddy to pray. They all came together. They said, "Okay, mommy, what's going on?" "Well, there's a great nation that's coming against us and the king called us to prayer." I said, "Oh, mommy, can we come to pray too?" "Oh, yes, you can come, Hafa. You can come and pray. Yes, you can come. Let's all go together." So they gathered together and they all went and prayed to the Lord. You see, friends, prayer is not just for adults. Prayer is not just for leaders. Prayer is, especially in this situation, God calls His people. In fact, in the time of Jonah, when Jonah went to Nineveh, well, he was running for a minute, but eventually he went to Nineveh, and he went there to preach the word, and he preached the word. And you know what it says also? Kaylee, you know what it says? It says that when the people of Nineveh heard the word of Jonah, the message of Jonah, the parents, the children, everyone came together, even the animals were fasting. Amazing. So watch this. We should never neglect. The Bible puts it this way. Jesus Himself teaching and talking about where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am in the midst to bless. Never neglect coming together. In fact, in the book of Acts chapter 2, write it down, I won't go there. In the book of Acts chapter 2, that when the disciples, Peter preached a powerful message, and in the end of the book of Acts, it says that they continued daily in the temple. The people of God, they were moving from house to house. They were fellowshipping, they were praying, they were eating together. And they realized the power of coming together, because there is power, there is strength in unity. So they came together. Don't miss this. Point 6. They all gather together. Somehow God is seeking to gather His people. Especially in these last days. Friends, what is coming up on this earth, we won't be able to deal with it alone. Whilst we have our relationship, our personal relationship with God, but there is this preparation when mind, sharpening minds, others listening to the other friend, the friend that's saying, getting some important facts and information from the word. And as we blend together, have you noticed the difference? How you sharpen each other? Because that's the plan of God. No one man has it all. But when we come together, we're able to share and help each other. Sometimes, when we're afflicted and we're down, just the soft words from a friend makes the biggest difference in the world. Just hearing those pleasant words. What the Bible says about that, pleasant words are like apples of, okay, yes, apples of gold set up into a platter of silver, you know. It's the words and how that affects the mind, the heart, and our everything coming together. Number 7, let's bring it on. They praised and worshiped the Lord. Verse 7, verses 18 and 19, it says, "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground when they were all gathered together, assembled together now." And it says, "And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord." And then verse 19, "And the Levites," those were the great singers, "of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high." Friends, what are they praising about? The enemy's coming. Have they faced the enemy as yet? Have they gotten the victory as yet? Well, think carefully. How is it that they're praising and they didn't even see the victory as yet? What is that? The highs of faith. Amen. You see, they had the faith in God. They are thanking God. They're following through what God would have them to do. They said, "Lord, you told us if we just come to you." And they did, and then they start to praise God. Friends, faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You haven't seen it, but you believe it, you accept it, and you know that God is able to do this. And yes, Brenda, so they praise God. Even before seeing what would happen, they were praising God. What a blessing. This is the call for you and I today. God is saying to you and I, you don't need to see my blessing to praise me. You just need to know my power. And so they were praising God before even seeing what God would do. What a blessing. All right. Let's move to 7 before I get too excited here. Charles Spurgeon puts it this way: delayed answers are not only trials of faith, but they give us an opportunity of honoring God by our steadfast confidence in Him under apparent repulses. You see, friends, sometimes we think it's a delay. Sometimes we're thinking, well, why God is not there? Why He's not answering? But what we're seeing today, my friends, is that this is an opportunity or a trial of faith. Sometimes God wants to build you up. He wants to build your faith. He wants to strengthen you. And so He's holding back. He's telling you, okay, my child, you need to trust more. You need to have more faith. You need to hold on. And when you understand who I am, I'll show you my glory. Amen. Number 8, let's finish this. Verse 20, believe God and His prophets. I wish I had time to flesh this out, I will not. I'll just go quickly over it. Verse 20 says, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall he be established. Believe his prophets, so shall he prosper." Believe God and his prophets, friends. When you read the word of God, you can believe it. This is the law and the prophets, by the way. The word of God, God has given. We can read, we can study. And God is saying, believe my word. Doubt not my potential. Doubt not what I'm able to do. We heard this morning, last night, by the way, Clayton shared blind Bartimaeus when he said, "Lord, what God?" Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do?" And what did he say? He said, "Lord, I want my sight. Do you believe I can do this?" That is it. Believe God and His prophets. Do you believe God can do it for you today? God is able to do more than what we can ask or imagine. And many times we don't see the power of God because we fail to trust Him. God never tells us we will not have a storm. He told us He'll be with us in the storm. He never tells us that we will not go through the waters. He said, "I will be with you in the waters." And when the waters are troubled, when the storm is there, you can sleep like Jesus. Jesus in the storm, the disciples are troubled, they're railing, they're anxious, they're wondering what's going to happen. Jesus is taking a nap. I love to take naps, by the way. Lena will tell you, I come home for lunch. I said, babe, I want to take a little nap before I eat. I said, honey, I'm hungry. I said, babe, go ahead, but I want a little nap. Because you see, after my nap and then after I eat, I feel much better and then I'm ready for the afternoon. Jesus taking a nap in the storm. What a blessing. What an example. What is your storm? Now, you can nap in your storm, not literal. But in your storm, that nap is the childlike trust in God. Finishing. Prayer is not asking. Prayer is putting oneself in the hands of God. Oh, this lady, some lady. Act is disposition and listening to his voice in the depth of our hearts. So you see, sometimes we just want to ask. Well, you see, in our mind, in our experience, Mother Teresa is saying prayer is not so much asking. Prayer is putting oneself in the hands of God at his disposition, saying, God, what would you have me to do? What would you have for my heart? I am troubled, Lord, but I'm here and I want you to soothe this troubled heart. And so this morning, benefits of counsel. In verse 21, you're going to see they counseled together, they consulted with the people and appointed singers. Oh, don't take singing lightly. I have a series coming up on singing. Don't take singing lightly. Don't take praising God lightly. Don't take, when God has given the gift of singing or the gift of song, don't take it lightly. God uses his singers. God used song to defeat the enemy. Don't take it lightly. They counsel together and they also gather the singers. And so they praise God. I'm going to finish. Come, Teresa, come up here to talk for a minute. She's going to share a little testimony, something with you. But they gathered the people. They went out before the enemy. They shout and sang before the Lord. And then verses 25 to 28, you will see they were rejoicing. They were joy and rejoicing in the Lord, giving him praise for the victory. But you see, friends, this was not the first time we see praise and rejoicing. They were doing this before the victory. They had the faith. They knew that God is able to do this. And you see, we may be praying for one thing. When you go home, read the rest. I'm not going to take more of your time. But when you go home, read the rest. Read those verses, 25 to 28. It shows that after God gave the victory, he gave even other things unto them. He gave them the spoils. He gave them many things that were there. You see, sometimes we're praying for one thing and God has 10 things prepared for us. That's our God. Teresa, what's the power of prayer? Tell us a little bit your experience and what God has been doing.
Yes, good morning, brothers and sisters. And we have been talking at our board meetings about the necessity we have to take this word, this love of God for our neighborhood. And we're thinking that before this, we need to be prepared. We need to prepare our church. We need to prepare our people. So people around us, their neighborhood can feel the love of God through us. So we started praying a month at our board meetings for the church, for our few. So because we want you to be united with us in prayer. For the preparation we are doing to take this, the God's word and his law to our neighborhood. So we are preparing some action, but before this, we need to prepare our hearts to be open to those people, to love those people that are dying without God. So we have here, Jesus says that where we are two or three in his name, he'll be with us. And necessarily, we don't need to be all the time in the church. We can be online. So we are praying every night at 8:30. Yeah, 8:30, we have our meeting, and we have a group, the church group. Yeah. And every night I'll be sending a message for all of you, inviting to be praying with us.
Amen.
Yes. And that's our message for today. And I think God is very pleased to know that we are preparing our hearts to receive His love.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you so much, Theresa. Theresa is our prayer coordinator for the church. She's been faithful. Every night at 8:30, she sends a little message as a reminder to our church board. So we've been praying and lifting up various things before the Lord. As she's saying, we want to extend this to the church. We want to, in the church group, we have revived that group, and we will be, if you are not on the group, please see Teresa. We can add you to the group, or myself, and we'll be able to have you in there and be connected praying with us. And later, we trust by God's grace, we can be looking into how, as Jehoshaphat called the people together, we can have different moments in which we're coming together for this great and important purpose. Friends, as I close today, I want to appeal to your hearts. In the book of Acts chapter 12, the disciples were threatened. Some of them were killed. James's head was cut off. Peter, they captured and put in prison, but it says the church of God was praying for Peter. And the church was praying, the angel of the Lord went and delivered Peter, freed Peter from prison, and somehow it seemed as if they were praying. I'm sure they believed God's power, but I think it was for excitement. They didn't even believe that God could answer their prayer so swiftly. Because Peter was there, and then they at the door, and they said, no, that's a ghost. It can't be Peter so quickly. But it was Peter. And in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in jail. And at midnight, Paul and Silas could say, you know, man, we've been working for God for so many years. And how is it that God now just allow us to be cut off? We can't preach freely anymore. We're here in prison. They could be complaining. They could be whining. But you know, at midnight, Paul and Silas got up and they started to praise God. They started to sing and pray. And the jailers were like, what's going on here? The man had a prayer meeting in jail. And they saw the power of God. Today, as we close, I ask you, how is that prayer life of yours? The 10 points that we looked at this morning in the story of Jehoshaphat, are we applying these principles in our heart, in our prayer life?